49ers Fancast, episode 74 for January 26, 2012.
Montana rolling out the right, looking toward the end zone, throwing under pressure, throws his pass, caught by Clark. Clark got a touchdown. Clark has it. It's a touchdown for the 49ers.
Montana at quarterback in motion, comes right. Back to throw, Montana. Steps up, throws.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the... it's the end of the season, but it's not the end of the world. Hello, I am Indiana Jim. Voicemail line, if you want to get your voice in here, is 350-750-READ. No, wait. That's the Dragon Page podcast. Whoo, what is mine? 350? No. 3477 Go Niners. Wow. That was awful. 3477 Go Niners. Yeah, well, here we are. And the NFC Championship goes to the New York Football Giants. And you know what? Here's some phone calls after the Saints game.
Hello. Hey, Indiana Jim. This is Kamara, a longtime listener. I'm calling back an hour before the game for the Saints. I'm liking our defense to play very solid, not giving up that many plays. There will be some big plays by the Saints, but I think we'll limit them to maybe four for the whole game. Hopefully those four won't lead to touchdowns. I can see us using a ball control style offense that has been working for us all season with a healthy dose of Gore and even Kendall Hunter. I can see us sacking Breeze at least two or three times. I like our chances at home also. The Niners play very well at home. Our crowd will be into it. It'll be a sea of red. And I can see the Niners pulling it out 24-21 and hopefully hosting the playoff game at home, or if not, on the Green Bay. Hopefully this gets played on the podcast and hear what your comments about it come next week. Talk later. Have a good one. Go Niners.
Wow. I'm going to do better next year, and let me just say that. I'm going to do better next year, next season. Something's got to change in the way I do things, the way I make things happen around here. So there's Kamara chiming in day of the Saints game before the game was even played. And Niners won, awesome. We were there. It was great. It was great to see Alex Smith establishing himself on the 49ers. And, of course, keeping in mind the game that occurred afterward. And we all remember what happened then. But I said I'm going to play him, and I'm going to play him. And that's what I'm going to do, because I said I would. And I meant it.
Hey, Jim. Super fan Sean here from Roseville. And just calling to give you a quick thought on the weekend. So it's Monday morning, and already I was listening to Mike and Mike on the way to work, and I hear them with a past giant on the radio and saying that, Eli Manning's just too good. I don't think the Niners can stop him. He's going to go in there, and they're going to win it on the road. And I just think, it doesn't matter who the 49ers beat. They are just a team that the national media folk and even local media folk here just love to not believe in. And I think it's partly because people have invested 7 years in preaching the idea that Alex Smith can't win, that the 49ers can't win with him as quarterback. And now that is being challenged and a lot of people are looking at the potential of egg on their face or already have it all over their face, Keyshawn Johnson. Anyway, it's interesting that it doesn't seem to matter what he does. It'll never be enough. Now, the game that they did play against New Orleans was obviously an amazing game. Defense, up until the final 4 minutes, held Drew Brees to 2 touchdowns, and that is tremendous. And then, of course, a couple of big plays really made the difference there. And if you had told me the Niners were going to have to outscore Drew Brees, I don't think I would have taken that bet. But even me, someone who does believe in Alex and thinks that he's only going to get better. But he did it, man. What a throw. The catch three. We need to come up with a name. So anyway, looking forward to your next show. Hopefully there will be one before the championship game. and I am predicting 49ers to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That was... I'm so sorry. I am. I mean it.
Hey, Indiana Jim. This is Ilya Kruger from Atlanta. I got a bunch to tell you, and I haven't called in all year, but, bear with me. I hope you have a lot of tape. First of all, I heard some of the news that you might be thinking about hanging up the show, and I beg you not to do it. Being as far away as I am from the Bay Area, you're kind of my last bastion of good 49ers information. I listen to the show religiously, and I love your take. Some great analysis. It's entertaining. Definitely getting my 49er fix, and I really enjoyed it, especially this year because we've had so much good football to digest. Next, I want to go ahead and talk about last weekend's game. Boy, that is the most exciting playoff game I've ever seen. Being a 49ers fan, we've had so many great games to enjoy. But first of all, to give you a little bit of context, I work in Louisiana, so I get a chance to watch the game surrounded by Saints fans.
I'm so sorry.
It was just incredible. I actually had to go to bed early after the game. I was so taxed just with the emotional up and down roller coaster. I went back and re-listened to your podcast that you did right before the game. And congratulations, a number of your predictions were spot on. Not to mention a nice call on the Giants taking out Green Bay and us getting to host the championship game.
Yeah. That was weird.
another point, I really think that you need to put in the final catch this next week. So actually, I think it should be a permanent part of the intro. The announcers, when you've got the Robinson and or the whoever the Bay Area announcers are, because their call, one of the guys is holding it together, another guy just loses his mind.
Yeah,
it was. You know, I think I've got a tape of it, and I've listened to it about 25 times. It was great.
Classic, yeah.
But definitely, that should work its way into the intro. I was really impressed with, I lost faith in Alex Smith in there. And you've really been you're on point about a lot of what was going on and what needed to happen. Once again, I'm just kind of rambling on, but I love what you do, man. Please keep doing it. The show is great. Obviously, you got a 5-star rating from me on iTunes, and I tell anybody who's a 49ers fan about the show.
Sweet.
It's great.
Oh, and that was, that's all. So, it's guys like you, and there's a couple other people that I owe shout outs to on Twitter. There are guys like at Bromsby on Twitter, and my man Abel Rojas, Abex81 on Twitter. Guys like you, and guys like the guys on the voicemail line. This is podcasting, okay? This is what makes podcasts keep going, is people like him call in, and of course the host plays your voicemail a week too late. But that's beside the point. It's that kind of, I listen to your show religiously and I need my fix. And let me give you, before we move on with the show this episode, let me tell you, if you want this show to keep going week in and week out here through the off season, this is your avenue to keep this thing going, because this needs to be a discussion. This needs to be an ongoing thing. And, last time I kind of phased out for the off season, but if you want this to keep going, make those calls. Give me your takes on free agency. Give me your takes on the draft. Because I don't really have much. I don't watch a lot of college football. The only thing I'm really interested in free agency wise is, a wide receiver, maybe a defensive back or two. That's kind of where we're at as far as the team needs. And other people, again, will still say quarterback, but we'll obviously get into that at some point. Thank you so much for your call. And, you know, I apologize. Now, you know, life things happened. The way my schedule goes, kid-wise and wife-wise and sister-in-law having a new baby-wise, this is kind of, you know, what happened. Not an excuse, just a reason. And, but, you know, maybe I can find some way to make it all, to put it all together and figure out what I need to do to keep this schedule more consistent. So anyway, you mentioned the calls from Ted Robinson and Eric Davis, number 25, played on that champion team in 94. Did he have two picks or something in that game against Dallas, that NFC championship game? And, you know, this team, this fan base, we've endured several conference championship losses. The fact that they've won five Super Bowls means they've been to the conference championship many times. And since 1990, the team is now 1-6 in NFC championship games. A lot of those were obviously, you got the Craig fumble, then you got the two straight against Dallas, and then, of course, 94, the win. And, is that right? I don't remember. Anyway, regardless, they haven't been in any conference championship games since 94, I don't think. I mean, really, I blank out most of the NFC championship losses, so this one, you know, well, we'll get into it later. So you were talking about the calls on the touchdown pass, right? Well, you know, I got more than that for you.
Smith on third down. He will take it himself for a first down and more. Alex Smith is in. Touchdown.
That, of course, is Kenny Albert. I guess is a younger brother to Marv, son to Marv. I don't know, but I do like Kenny Albert, and that was his take on the broadcast. And now here is the radio call on that bootleg by Alex Smith.
Williams wide left, Crabtree slot left, Gore goes slot right, empty backfield, shotgun Smith, Saints bring extra man, Alex going to boot to his left and run, he's going to run it 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, do you believe it? What a play, the play of dreams, Alex Smith runs a bootleg left on a shotgun, and he runs it in for a touchdown.
And that would have worked too, Ted.
And of course, that was Eric Davis at the end, and they had just gotten done talking about what plays would work on third down, and he, of course, said that play would have worked too, obviously, to rousing success. And now, the ultimate game winner right here, first Kenny Albert on the call.
Third and three. He throws to the end zone.
What an unbelievable game by Vernon Davis. That's the emotion of the game. This has been the most amazing finish to a game that I have seen in a long time.
That, of course, was Vernon Davis with his ultimate TO moment. And Vernon would follow that up with another TO moment after scoring a touchdown against the Giants, jumping on the camera stand like TO did. Only T.O. did it at the end of the game when the game was won, Big V. I'm just gonna point that out. But here now is the great call from Ted Robinson and Eric Davis.
The 49ers send two receivers wide right, two tight ends wide left. Smith in a gun with Gore on his left hip. Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking.
He's got it.
In the post, and it's good. Championship. Can you feel Candlestick?
to get burning up the seam. I'm staring at it the entire time. Alex knew exactly where he wanted to go with that ball. He had the confidence to trust Vernon Davis. He was able to sneak right past, right behind the linebacker, right in front of the safety. And Alex threw a dart. Ted, he threw a dart right in there, right on point.
Now, I do not mind in the least a local radio broadcaster getting all homer. I just don't mind at all. Let that sink in for a minute. Honestly, that was just my excuse to drink my coffee. Man, I mean, you can just feel the excitement and feel the, I don't know what to say, you know, the weight of that moment. And taking everything out from the NFC Championship game, we'll get into that a little bit later. Now, taking all of that out, you know, obviously the Saints weren't the best defense against the pass, and neither were the Giants, honestly. The Saints were 30th, the Giants were 29th. The Giants actually gave up a higher completion percentage and more yards per attempt. Regardless of that point, that moment, those two moments, when you win a game twice, you know, you have two fourth quarter drives back to back where you go 80 plus yards and get the win, that really says something for Alex Smith. And the thing about the Saints game is there were openings where he had the guts to trust Vernon and throw the ball. And the Saints played a lot of man-to-man. And honestly, when you have that opportunity, when you have man-to-man coverage, and it was tight. The Saints were playing good man-to-man coverage. It wasn't like they were just man-to-man and Vernon was, you know, beating everybody just by a stride and a half, you know. It was pretty close, but the Saints dared Alex Smith to win the game, and he won the game. The Giants, they played defense a little differently, but, well, again, we'll get into that later. But just looking at the Saints game, that is a huge, huge step for this team. And honestly, who expected them to get to the NFC Championship? And I know people are going to say, well, once you're there, you got to make plays and you got to get the win. I get that, okay? But to get as far as they did, when you take into account the lockout, you take into account new staff, new system, all that's been said about Alex Smith not getting to know a system, you know, being non-functional until he gets to know a system. He played great all season when you consider all of that. And obviously credit goes to Jim Harbaugh for instilling him with the confidence, you know, the confidence of his coach and also self-confidence. You know, Alex kind of had that devil-may-care attitude this year. It was kind of, you know what, I don't care. I don't care about what people say. I don't care about the good stuff. I don't care about the bad stuff. I'm just going out there and playing football. And every win means you get to go out there and do it again. And I just love that attitude. And what this means for this team is huge. Now, the one thing they have to be able to do is get past the sting of losing this game. And one of the things, obviously, that came out was Crabtree after the game talking about, you got to make plays. You know, you got to do whatever it is, whatever he said. I don't know. But the big thing was, you got to make plays. And I just want to say to Michael Crabtree, where were you on those, like, four drops against the Saints? You know, taking out everything else, where were you making plays the week before? Don't come out there and start talking about somebody else got to make plays. That's all I want to say about that. It's just, that's the heat of the moment. That's the emotion of the moment. And I don't begrudge, I really don't begrudge him. I just, you know, that's what I would say to him. But I don't begrudge him for saying it in you know, the aftermath of that loss. And it wasn't like it was it was devastating in the way that it happened. And we might as well just jump into it. It was devastating in the way that it happened there at the closing seconds when you fought and fought and battled all game long. You've gone over 60 minutes. You know, you both have been fighting. You've been clawing and scratching and trying to take every single opportunity. And the wind that goes out of your sails when a guy fumbles the ball right there in field goal range, and that's pretty much the game. You know, when that split second moment, you see the ball come out, you see a giant fall on it, that, you know, whoosh, that sucking of the air. And I mean, that whole stadium just, you know, collective gasp and, you know, no. And I was screaming at the TV. I was like, no. I wasn't screaming like a girl, but I can't really do like I was doing. And of course, I called Kyle Williams an idiot. And he was kind of an idiot all game, honestly. Not in the passing game, but in the return game. You know, the diving fielding of the punt, the I don't really want to field it. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Oh, too late. It hit my knee. You know, obviously two huge mistakes that cost this team 10 points right there. You can't avoid that. You can't avoid that Kyle Williams ultimately ended costing the game. All right? Now that we've said that, there were plenty of opportunities for other people to not win the game. Obviously, it's come out that Greg Cassell, talking about Alex Smith, missing some wide-open throws, and you know, that's more the reason why they lost than Kyle Williams. It's a bunch of bullcrap, and I'll tell you why. Number one, his first example was the first third down of the game. Crabtree apparently wide open, he says. Well, my question, first of all, is how wide open is wide open? Are you talking about if he had thrown it before he was open, then he was wide open? Or are you talking, you know, 1 yard, 5 yards, 10 yards wide open? Are you talking, you know, Alex, as soon as he sees him, he's wide open, now he can throw it and it gets there and he's still wide open? Or he's wide open and by the time he gets it there, the Giants are going to converge on the ball? Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant because it's like those two interceptions that were missed. And, you know, a friend of mine on Twitter, I'm just going to say his name, Jamie Miller, pointed out that the Niners still got the ball back even though they missed those picks. Those missed picks don't ultimately change the way that game goes, you know, unless they get like a big return or something. But ultimately, they don't change the way the outcome of the game. That Crabtree miss doesn't really change the outcome of the game because they went right back to the same exact route on the very next drive, resulting in a 73-yard touchdown to Vernon Davis. So, yeah, he missed it. But you know what? He came back and he hit it for a touchdown. Okay? And, you know, Cassell talking about, well, you know, Alex didn't have the guts to pull the trigger on these throws. What about the other one to Vernon Davis, where he's in the end zone? He put it right between two guys. So he wasn't all, you know, gutless the entire game. The other one, he talked about first play of the second half. It's a wheel route to Delanie Walker. Now, we've seen him hit this before. We've seen him hit it to Bruce Miller. We've seen him hit it to Delanie before. It's not like he's never made this throw. He hesitated and took a sack. Okay, fine. Did that ultimately change the outcome of the game? Because they ended up going right back to that route a little bit later, and they got the illegal contact penalty. Now, if Delanie Walker hadn't been slowed up, that ball would have been perfect. It was just about a step and a half in front of him. Had they not had the illegal contact penalty, that timing would have been there, and that would have been, you know, a great play, maybe a touchdown, maybe not. I don't know. Point is that you've got two of his biggest examples are negated by the fact that he hit those later in the game, you know, almost immediately after on the first one. So, you know, don't put too much stock into what Greg Cassell puts out there, because obviously, yeah, he missed some throws. That's true. Okay? Now, if you tell me that in the fourth quarter or in overtime, there's some wide open guys that he didn't hit, that he didn't have the guts to throw, okay, I'm with you there. But he didn't say that. He didn't say anything like that about the fourth quarter and overtime. And in fact, Matt Barrows, he had a good piece for the Sacramento Bee pointing out that, hey, Alex and Eli pretty much played the same game in the second half and in overtime. You know, the Niners' defense tightened up. And, you know, when you look at the fourth quarter, and here's my real gripe about the fourth quarter, and here's another place that they lost the game. If you remember that drive that they went down and scored the tying field goal, they ran the ball on the Giants. Now, Alex had that big, huge scramble. Hunter had that big run around the left side. And then they couldn't punch it in the end zone. They had the field goal. So in your two possessions in the fourth quarter, you got one with 4 minutes left, and you got one at minute 48. Each drive, they called three straight pass plays. Now, the Giants had been tightening up on the passing game. The running game was working, and I even pointed this out before the NFC Championship game. I said the Niners are going to run. The first game, they threw a lot. This game, they're going to run a lot, and they ran a lot. And in fact, Alex Smith kind of played a little Tim Tebow. Had a, you know, designed inside option play. another designed run. He had the big, you know, a couple big scrambles. You know, he was doing what he could do. He was taking what the Giants defense gave him. Now, they called a bunch of pass plays. And I even tweeted, at 4 minutes left, I said, here's the point where the team who runs the ball the best is going to control the clock and win the game, advantage Niners. They didn't run the ball. Three straight plays, they threw it. Three straight incompletions, two of which were, you know, flush rollouts for Alex Smith, where he, you know, has to leave the pocket and, you know, nobody's open and he throws it at people's feet. Now, we've seen him throw the ball at people's feet rolling out before. You know, but you could tell when the ball got there, there was a Giant all over whoever he was throwing to. And there was a few throws throughout the game where Alex makes a pretty good throw that's going to be in stride, and there's a Giant just coming in, diving in, putting his hand down in the way, and knocking it out of the way. We saw several like that. We didn't see too many where Alex just completely misses a guy. And I don't know if he's thrown at people's feet because he's too cautious and he doesn't want the ball to maybe get picked off. You know, if, he figures maybe if I throw it over there, maybe they could tip it up and it might get picked. Maybe that's his thought process. Is it a good thought process? No. I'm not defending the thought process. I'm saying, you know, I doubt really that it's just slipping out of his hand and hitting the ground. Maybe it is. Who knows? I'm not there. What do I know? The fact is, those plays weren't made. But I don't hear anybody saying, hey, so-and-so was way wide open over here. You know, I saw somebody say, oh, Crabtree was open deep a bunch of times. Well, not really. Not a bunch of times. There was one point where Crabtree was open behind the defense, but at that point, Alex is rolling to his left. Crabtree's going post to the right. And, you know, you're running to your left and the guy's opposite field. You got to do the swivel and step into it and throw it. And at that point, you know, there's a Giant defensive end that's going to be all over him. And so, you know, you could say, well, Crabtree was wide open. Yeah, when Alex was moving left and the defense went left with him. So, and I'm not here just to completely defend Alex Smith, because I think it's legitimate that there was some of that, you know, scared of the rain, scared of the wind, scared of the Giants defense, maybe a little, because the Giants played excellent coverage. They really did. What did they do to Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, he had seven drops by his, you know, by his teammates, but, you know, at the same time, you know, they flustered him. Their coverage was outstanding. And, you know, I didn't know how good their coverage was going to be. And that was the one thing I was nervous about. You know, they talk about the rush four, drop seven. And, you know, we all know that Alex is better against the blitz than he is against four-man rush. And why have we always said, we've always said this, because there's so many guys out there, he's processing the coverage and everything, and he's kind of timid about throwing into tight spaces. And this is the one, so all the reasons they lost, Alex Smith is not at the top of the list. I mean, I think at number one at the top of the list is going to be those fumbles, those turnovers. You know, they couldn't get the turnovers on the Giants. And don't talk to me about Ahmad Bradshaw's no fumble, okay? That is ultimately irrelevant to the outcome of the game, because they had plenty of opportunities, you know, other than the muff punt. The muffed punts cost 10 points. In fact, if he doesn't muff that other one with the knee, the Niners probably just win at the end. Giants, I don't think, come back and, you know, they don't get that touchdown. The Niners keep the ball, but we don't know. And even you can blame Kyle Williams all you want, but that was going to be their, what, third possession of overtime? What did they do the first two? You know, if Kyle Williams fields that punt cleanly, and let's just say he just gets tackled at like the 30, there's no guarantee that the Niners are going to go down and score, right? Because they kept calling these pass plays instead of running the ball, which they should have ran the ball a whole lot more. You know, Gore was healthy. Gore was running like, you know, you could see his heart just show up in that game. And it just disappoints me to no end to have the play calling go, you know, way past heavy when the run was working. You know, it wasn't a great game for Alex. He made some really good throws, but, you know, the Giants played good defense, and he wasn't making huge plays against them. You know, they were tightening up on him. So why not run the ball? It just profoundly disappoints me that they didn't run the ball more. So you take all these things into account, and you take some, you know, some reluctance on Alex Smith to deliver the football sometimes, and, you know, all of those ingredients together. You know, Alex Smith is third on the list of stuff that cost the game. But now you got people out there saying, oh, if we had a real quarterback, forgetting what happened the game before, you know, forgetting all of that. Now, could a guy with a cannon like Kaepernick, could he fit stuff in those tight windows? I don't know. There's no guarantee, A, he sees them. There's no guarantee, B, that he's experienced enough to know where they are. You know, I don't know. Nobody knows. You can say either way. You could say Kaepernick would have been great. You could say Kaepernick would have sucked. I don't care. You could say Peyton Manning would have been awesome. But Peyton Manning can't run, and Alex Smith had to run. Now, this is another thing. All this Peyton Manning talk. Peyton Manning talk. You know, San Francisco would be a great place for Peyton Manning. You know, you have to move behind this line. And people say, oh, well, Peyton, you know, gets rid of the ball so quickly that, you know, he makes up for his offensive line. I guarantee you the Colts offensive line pass blocks a lot better than the 49ers do, because I watch pretty much every Colts game, and they give Peyton Manning way more time than this line gives Alex Smith. Now, they got better. I will give you that, especially against the Giants. The offensive line played pretty good. I'm not going to say great. Obviously, they, you know, the Giants are good. I mean, the Giants pass rush is great. The Niners O-line is good. So he had time, but, you know, not obviously the ideal amount of time, but he had plenty of time to get the ball out. You know, he didn't take a lot of sacks. I think they only got him twice or three times. I don't remember, for the whole game. You know, you look at Peyton Manning, and yeah, he gets the ball out quick, but he also has really quick wide receivers, and they play in a dome. Okay, Crabtree, they were showing Crabtree, you know, off the ball, couldn't get his footing. You know, he tries to make those quick cuts, and Crabtree really has to have, you know, he'd be outstanding on turf. He is great on turf because he can make those cuts. You can't make those cuts on Candlestick, that grass. You can't do that on the outside. Candlestick is not a place for a quick cut guy. That's why you see Gore fall down all the time. You know, even though he's playing at home, you know, he makes those quick cuts at home and they don't work. There's, you know, Candlestick suits a straight ahead, more of a straight ahead kind of thing. You know, a misdirection, easy flow, not a, you know, sharp cut kind of thing. So the point is, Peyton's receivers, now people have said, oh, well, Peyton Manning makes those receivers. You know, what would Garcon and Colley be without Peyton Manning? Well, we've seen what Peyton Manning is without, you know, Colley and Dallas Clark. And, you know, when his receivers went down, he made do with some of them. But, you know, these guys, they weren't running proper routes. They weren't catching the ball. They weren't making good cuts. Trust me when I say the Colts receivers are good. The Colts receivers are at least as good as the Saints receivers. Okay? You know, I don't hear a lot of people say, oh, Drew Brees makes those receivers. It all works together, okay? Joe Montana didn't make Jerry Rice, and Jerry Rice didn't make Joe Montana. But together, they were great. That's my point. You know, Peyton Manning, you know, he doesn't just play with scrubs all the time. When his starting guys go down, the Colts suffer. Now, for the Colts to suffer may be a different kind of suffering than the 49ers to suffer. You know, the Colts might still win 10 games because Peyton Manning is great. Okay? I get that. Alex Smith, not on the same level as Peyton Manning. But if you put Peyton Manning in this offense with these targets, he's not going to be the same Peyton Manning you see. You know, I have seen, we've seen this Niners offensive line give up pressure inside a second and a half. You know, the Ravens did it. We see every so often these guys just completely whiff on blocks. And I've never, rarely have I ever seen a Colt completely whiff on a block. Okay, the Colts offensive line is so underrated. And we also saw what happened when his left tackle went down. When he started having injuries on the offensive line, it hurt. It took a toll. It didn't matter how quick Peyton can get the ball out. He needs more than a second and a half. I'm just saying, you know, let's not get crazy now on the Peyton Manning to San Francisco talk. Now, here's the thing about Alex Smith. Harbaugh still said, you know, that's a position that's earned. We're going to bring the best people, and you've got to earn that spot in training camp. I don't know how much weight I give that. I don't know what that means. If they could get Peyton Manning, it would cost a lot of money. And they need more tools. They need more weapons. You know, you're not going to have to pay Alex Smith as much as you pay Peyton Manning. That's number one. If you pay Peyton, it's the same thing they're talking about in Indianapolis. If you pay Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, you don't have much money to pay for anything else. And that's why I think the Colts, with all these changes, Peyton Manning's not going to be there. I think he's going to be released. And I think somebody's going to pick him up. Now, it's going to be a team that has, you know, he's going to have his pick. And while it would be nice to go to San Francisco and play for Jim Harbaugh, it's going to be a completely different look. It's going to be West Coast. He's never played in the West Coast. You know, West Coast quarterbacks usually need to be mobile. Peyton Manning's not that mobile. Now, I don't know how he'd fit in. Could be great. Don't know. I think Peyton Manning could probably play in anything. But, again, it comes down to the money. Is he really going to want to play in San Francisco where you got to go play in Seattle? You know, is he going to want to play for a dome team? Maybe. I just don't know. I just don't know what that looks like for Peyton Manning. But again, it comes down to paying a guy. You know, do you really want to pay that much for a guy who's only going to give you two seasons? You know, you say, well, you know, if Peyton's on this team, we get a Super Bowl. Okay. You know, that's great, but what have you done for the future? I mean, I'm just not a guy who is keen on buying a Super Bowl at the expense of the long term. You know, I'm not a person who looks at immediate benefit for future stagnation. You look at what they did in 94, okay? Eddie bought that Super Bowl for Steve Young. There's no two ways about it. They played great, yeah. Shanahan was great, but he bought that Super Bowl with those free agents. And after the salary cap, what happened to the Niners after that? They went on a steady decline. They never got back to the Super Bowl with Steve Young. You know, they could have had Garrison Hurst not gone down against Atlanta. But, you know, where did we go from there? What kind of, you know, salary cap hell did Nolan have to get us out of? And a lot of that was brought on by Terry Donahue. I get that. But, I mean, I don't know. Would you take a Super Bowl next year for another 10 years of not getting back? You know? I'd rather take my chances building a solid core for the next 10 years than, and there's no guarantee that you win it with Peyton Manning, because he lost one too, remember? You know, all of this has been pointed out. Eli, the younger brother, has been a much better playoff quarterback than Peyton Manning has been. You know, I think I would rather take Eli than Peyton at this point on the Niners, the way the Niners play. I don't know. Y'all have thoughts. I love Peyton Manning. He's one of my favorite players. And I would be tickled to see him wearing 18 in red and gold. I really would. You know, let's talk about Alex Smith real quick here. Yeah, he's a guy I've really been pulling for. It was great to see how he played this season. But, you know, yeah, I would love to see Peyton Manning play. And if Peyton Manning comes in and they can still build for the future and Kaepernick's the guy and everything's great towards the future, that's nice. But I just don't picture the 49ers as being the kind of team that says, you know, here, let's take this guy for 2 years and maybe we get a Super Bowl out of it, you know? Because then it becomes, let's go get a Super Bowl for Peyton. It's not get a Super Bowl for San Francisco. You know, he's not a Niner, he's a Colt. The Niners have never been the kind of team that takes a guy on the last years of his career and, you know, O.J. Simpson, hello. You know, and people say, well, you know, Peyton is, he's not a running back and he's still kind of in his prime compared to what O.J. was. And it just doesn't feel right to me. I don't know. It feels kind of dirty, you know, like mercenary, you know, but I don't know. What do you guys think? You tell me. I have a voicemail line, 3477-GO-NINERS. And, you know, at this point, I'm glad to see Alex Smith get to the point where, you know, he made something of himself. And he became a winner. And he, you know, is real close to that 500 mark in his win-loss record. But it was a really nice story. Really great to see. Is he the long-term future? I don't know. You know, I think I still think the jury's out, but I think he's on the right track. And as I've said before, this season was never about let's see how good Alex Smith is. It was let's get him on the right trajectory. So here's what's going to happen. Number one, I don't think they're going to get Peyton Manning because I think he's going to cost too much. That's the first thing. Second thing is, with Alex Smith, they're going to give him either 2 or 3 years. Harbaugh himself has said it takes about 3 years to master this particular offense. And I think they're going to give him that time, contractually speaking. Now, next season, you got to take that next step forward. You got to go score more points. You got to get better on third down. And I think they will. That's just my feeling on it. You know, it's like the Saints game. When the Saints went up with that Sproles touchdown, I was like, there's plenty of time. I felt good. I felt confident about the way the Niners were going to play. And even when the Saints scored again on the Graham touchdown with a minute 37, I was like, you know, my gut feeling was very hopeful. My gut feeling during the Giants game was agonizing. Just the whole time, the whole way, it was nervous, 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 nervous. I was never nervous at the end of the Saints game. I was nervous against the Giants. I still get goosebumps thinking of how nervous I was. And my gut feeling was right. And my gut feeling on next season is they're going to get even better. They're going to have Josh Morgan back. You know, Harbaugh, I think, has learned a lot of lessons about from his rookie season as the head coach here. I think they're all going to take a step back, get away from things emotionally, come back and get to work, and they're going to be better next year. Are they going to get a big, you know, top flight receiver in the draft? I don't know. It's kind of doubtful. Would that make a difference? I mean, if you had an Andre Johnson out there, would Alex Smith feel more confident just throwing it up for a guy? Probably. You know, he'd be easier to see, clearly. Crabtree's not really that big. He's kind of a small guy. And when you have those big mountains of men in front of you in the offensive line, you know, Crabtree's going to be hard to see down the field. That's not the point. The point is, you know the play, trust the route, you know. But we've seen Crabtree slipping all over that field. Again, not making excuses. I'm just saying maybe this is kind of the thought process. And, you know, if I throw it to Crabtree, is he going to be there? I don't know. Sometimes you just got to throw the ball. That's all there is to it. So I give Alex Smith credit in this regard. He's really good at looking at what mistakes he made, going back and not doing them again. It's not quite amnesia. It's not like, oh my gosh, I did this last time and oh, I'm going to do it again. It's more, hey, I did this last time, I'm not going to do that again. I remember what I did here, I'm going to do something different. He's really good about adjusting. And I think he's going to take a long, hard look at the film from this season. He's going to see the places where he should have thrown the ball. They're going to work on this during OTAs and mini camps, and they're going to have a lot more time. And they're just going to get more comfortable together, all of them. And I feel very good about next season. Now, the schedule gets a little tougher. The Niners draw the AFC East. And what's the division opponent? The NFC North? I don't know. They get all the division champions, obviously, in the NFC. So they're going to have to play the Giants again. They're going to have to play the Packers. They're going to have to play the Saints again. It's going to be a tough schedule. So I wouldn't expect 13-3 next year, guys. And, you know, when the schedule comes out, we'll kind of look at that, and we'll see where things go in the draft. But I think good things going forward are these. Alex Smith gets another year in this system. After playing pretty good solid football all year, he gets another year, another, you know, off season. Guys are going to be fresh, you know. Guys are going to be back. Who knows, you know. Anyway, the offensive line got a lot better down the stretch. And in the playoffs, they played a lot better. So that unit is going to stay together, I think. You know, Rashal, hopefully, he's a free agent. Hopefully he can, you know, they say sayonara to him. Resign Adam Snyder, keep him around. That unit's going to be there, and they got a lot better. Gore, I don't know how much more time he has left, and that's probably one of the worst things about not going to the Super Bowl this year, is we don't know how many more chances Frank Gore will have to get there. But Kendall Hunter, as a rookie, played extremely well. He won't be a rookie anymore. Bruce Miller was a rookie. He won't be a rookie anymore. Kyle Williams, a rookie. He won't be a rookie anymore. So guys are going to have some experience under their belt. The defense is what I'm really concerned about, because you've got Rodgers and Goldson, both of who had 6 picks this year, played really well. Goldson didn't really play out of his mind. You know, he just he's good at going after that ball sometimes. So, you know, the year before that, Goldson was crap. He was terrible. And this year he kind of goes, you know, he vacillates between good and great and not so great. You've got, is Paris Harrelson a free agent? I don't remember who else is a free agent out there. But, you know, Rodgers and Goldson are a priority. Are they going to be able to keep that defensive core together? You know, where's Aldon Smith going to go from here? And that's the thing. You look at a loss like this and you've got free agency coming on down the pike and it's like, will they be able to keep as strong a core of players as they had this year? You know, and honestly, the Niners caught a lot of people by surprise. Are they going to catch as many people by surprise this year? You know, they had a pretty good draft because when they went 6-10, are they going to be able to get the same value at higher picks? Those are the questions coming forward. I don't have too many questions about Harbaugh's coaching staff. I think they all are good at making adjustments. I think we've seen all year they make adjustments that Singletary's and Nolan's staffs never did. The Niners make those. Harbaugh's staff makes those adjustments. So anyway, tell me what you think. If I get some calls on the voicemail line, we will have an episode next week. That is my promise to you and my promise going forward. I will check that sucker during the week, and if I have voicemails in there, there will be an episode. You will guide the rest of this program. You will guide this program going forward. So send me your voicemails. Send me your tweets. Let's keep the conversation going. Go to the website, 49ersfancast.com. We've had some server issues, so I don't know when this episode reaches you. But anyway, call the voicemail line, 347-7-GO-NINERS. Call, tweet at 49ersFanCast. Also tweet at Indiana Jim. And I will see you on the flip side. Bye-bye.